All right, John chapter 15, verse 7. I've been preaching a sermon series called Stand On It, and I'm talking about standing on the Word of God. How many believe we need to stand on the Word? Amen. Take a stand on it, believe it, pray it, get it into your spirit, get it into your life, confess it, post it on the mirrors, post it on the refrigerator, post it on the dashboard, but don't look at it when you're in heavy traffic. But nonetheless, amen, the Word should be in our heart. YouVersion. The YouVersion Bible is an amazing app if you want to get on there. And it's amazing. There's all these kind of reading programs on the YouVersion app that I know a lot of you guys have told me you're going through. And it's just many different ways. Get in the Word. Stand on the Word. So the first week I talked about just the power of the Word. Second week we talked about the power of Scripture itself and how Scripture has authority and Scripture stands alone. It doesn't need anything to be taken away from it or added to it. But today I want to talk about just one thing, and that one thing is the power of praying Scripture. The power of praying Scripture. So I'm going to teach this morning about how we can actually get into praying Scripture. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you're probably like, well, this is old news. Yeah, but I'm telling you, we need to refurbish this, dust it off, and get this process back into our lives where we pray through Scripture. Can somebody say amen? So let's begin with this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Okay, let's all quote this together. Say it out loud. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is what I call the blank check of prayer. It's like Jesus gave us a blank check and signed the bottom of it for us and said, whatever you desire in prayer, if you abide in my words, or abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Amen. Is that a good deal or is that a good deal? Amen. You know, I thought about if you go to Washington, D.C. and visit the Smithsonians and all that, you can go just a street or so over and visit the Bureau of Printing and Engraving. And there they print money. So it's a really cool thing to see. If you've never seen how that works, it's worth your trip. But just to tantalize us, there's an exhibit right as you walk in plexiglass on a table, and it's $1 million in cash sitting on a table under plexiglass. So you can't get to it. But you walk by and you're kind of like, you know. What if I brought that exhibit in here today and set it right there? $1 million. And said, hey, first one down gets it. It'd be like broke noses, bones, and, you know, call 911, right? The house is on fire. No, sorry. Call 911. Because everybody would be rushing to the altar trying to get to this thing. Well, I've got something better than $1 million. I've got the Word of God. And I'm going to lay it right here this morning. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and those words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you. Hallelujah. So come on, hold your Bible up. Maybe it's an iPad, maybe it's an iPhone, maybe it's a scroll or papyri or whatever it is, but hold it up. Come on, say, this contains the words of Jesus. And if I let this abide in me and I abide in Him, I can ask whatever I desire in prayer and it shall be done. Somebody say amen. Is that awesome or what? I can ask whatever I will and it shall be done. So sometimes when we come to prayer, though, we don't stand on this. James chapter 4, verse 3, he said, you know what? You ask and you do not receive because when you ask amiss. You ask outside the will of God that you may spend it on your pleasures. So sometimes our prayers aren't answered because we're asking the wrong way or the wrong things. We're asking just that our lusts be fulfilled, basically, instead of aligning our prayers with the Word of God. It is super important that we align our prayers with the Word. Amen? And I just some precursory things here. Also, I think we need to understand there's opposition against us. We were born into a battlefield. We were born into a battle between God and Satan. Adam and Eve was placed in a garden. There's a devil there. There's a God walking through the garden. We're placed in the same basic cosmic warfare, and we have an enemy who is against us. So when we come to prayer, get your strategy straight here, because when we come to prayer, there's someone against us, and it's Satan and his forces. And you say, do you actually believe that, Hans? I believe it more today than I ever have in my life. That there's a real devil and he's really against us. So this is Hans Hess, Simple Theology 101. And this is how I believe. God is good. Devil is bad. God wants Hans blessed. Devil wants Hans cursed. God wants Hans healed. Devil wants Hans sick. God wants Hans blessed and prospering so that I may give to others out of the overflow of my life. Devil wants me broke and begging. God is good. Devil is bad. So let's just take out the verb. God good. Devil bad. So let's say it all together. This deep theological lesson. God good. So when I come to prayer, I want to get my priorities straight. God is for me, not against me. Satan is against me and not for me. So when I come to prayer, I get my priorities straight and thank God for a wife who constantly reminds me. Satan's trying to take us out, Hans. We got to watch what we do. We don't need to go whitewater rafting anymore. We have no business in the river. She said, I don't even want seawater anymore. It makes me sick to even look at it now. Satan try to use any way he can to take you out. God's for me, not against me. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. And we're wrestling against demonic forces that are coming against us. He said, therefore, take a stand, and when you've done all to stand, then put on the armor of God. And stand in faith against the power of the devil. Because believe it or not, the person sitting next to you is not your ultimate enemy. The people in the world are not really our ultimate enemies. There's an enemy behind this that's been coming against us, trying to take us out. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And through Christ, I can do all things. I can do great exploits in his name. And I have power over all the power of the enemy, he said in Luke 10:19. So praise God, we are already winners. I believe I preached this before. If you're a winner already, lift your hand and say, thank God, I've already won. Man, I just feel good today. I just feel like running around this building today. Mark chapter 4, Jesus gave a parable of four different soils and a sower who went out to sow seed. And he went out to sow seed and he scattered his seed. And only one of those four soils produced a good crop. The others were messed up somehow. But there was one seed that just kind of laid upon the hardened soil. And he said the birds came away and just snatched the seed away. And when Jesus gave the explanation of this parable, he said that is the devil. And the devil will come by, and if the word doesn't find good soil, he comes by and steals it. And I thought, wow, the devil can steal the word? Yes, he can. You can hear the greatest sermons. You can spend time in the word, but if you don't open your heart up and let it fall on the proper soil, Satan can come along and just steal it away from you. And don't be like that. Let that word get in you and let no one take it from you. Don't let the media take it from you. Don't let the fake news or the true news or whatever take it from you. Don't let neighbors and friends' opinions take it from you. Don't let the opinions of the educational system take it from you. Don't let hard times take it from you. Don't let people, when they betray you, take it from you. Let nothing take the word from you. Don't let age take it from you. Don't let youth take it from you. Don't let a can of beer take it from you. Don't let a joint of marijuana take it from you. Don't let a prescription drug take it from you. Don't let friends who influence you take it. Come on, I'm preaching better than your amen. Don't let anything take the word away from you. Because heaven and earth's going to pass away, Jesus said, but my word will stand forever. Hallelujah. So we understand who our enemy is, and then we come to God in prayer, and what we want to do is we want to go look for some scriptures that we can stand on in prayer. And then we take those scriptures before God, and we pray them to God, and then we back up and we stand secure in faith, knowing that our prayers have been heard. And that's when the real walk of faith begins, once you've already prayed. That's really when it begins, and you start thinking, Lord, I believe, even though I may not see it right now, I still believe it. I've prayed in faith, and I've made my petitions and requests known. I've been standing on certain scriptures, and even though everything may not be coming out right now, I believe it's going to in the future, so I'm just going to walk by faith until. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Five reasons we should pray scripture. Five reasons we should pray scripture. Number one, we should pray scripture because people in the Bible did it. People in the Bible prayed scripture. Two different examples I can think of. Number one is the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, Peter and John were preaching in the name of Jesus and they got arrested. They were taken before the council of Jews, who were the high authorities, called the Sanhedrin. And when they went before the Sanhedrin, they really chastised them and they beat them and they said, "Don't speak anymore in that name," meaning the name of Jesus. So can you imagine that? Being flogged and beaten and commanded never again to speak in that name. So what did Peter and John do? Once they were released, they went to a prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, they began to pray, "God, give us more boldness that we may speak in your name. And let signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy child Jesus." And they just began praying, "God, give us more." And when they got out of that prayer meeting, guess what? They went right back to preaching. But in that prayer meeting, they prayed some scripture. One of those was Psalm chapter 2. They said, "Lord, as David has said, why did the nations rage and peoples imagine or plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Because they're looking at the Old Testament through the eyes of Jesus. And it's all being reinterpreted for them. And they're bringing it up in their life now. And they're applying it in prayer and praying to God the words of Scripture. Another instance is in Nehemiah chapter 9. When the people of Israel were sent back to reestablish their homeland. They're going back, and after they had been there a while, they realized, they rediscovered the law, and they realized what had happened to Israel and how Israel had sinned, and they gathered together and had this great prayer meeting where they prayed that God would forgive them, basically, of their sins and their wickedness and the sins of the past. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, when they begin praying, they go through a litany of the great works of God in Scripture. How God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how God had worked signs and wonders among his people. And the Levites, the priests, led that prayer. And they're bringing up the words of God and bringing up the acts of God continually before the Lord as they're praying. So if the people in the Bible did it, you and I need to do it. Second reason we should pray scripture is because it glorifies God. It glorifies God when we bring his promises back to him. Notice this, the rest of this passage. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now notice the next verse. "By this my Father is glorified. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." The Father is glorified when we bring our petitions and requests before him so that we may bear fruit and be his disciples. Can you say amen? So I look at it this way. God is really glorified and pleased when we come to him in prayer. He's really pleased. He's not like, "Hey man, come on. I've got a lot going. I got a world to run here. Could you get on with your request?" No, God's not like that at all. He wants us to come because God is omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent, He's all that. He can spend all day with you and spend all day with every other person in the world simultaneously. Why? Because He's God. There's not like, well, God, I don't want to take your time away from somebody else, you know, because I know there's a lot on your mind. No. He can handle it all because He's omniscient, He's all-powerful, and He's omnipresent. Can you say amen? Amen. And it really glorifies Him, pleases Him when we bring Him stuff. And I believe, this is just my penchant here, but I believe He's really pleased when we bring Him the big stuff. I believe He loves every little request, every little boo-boo. He's cool with, right? He's into all that, right? He's even against, you know, into my, some, I don't know. I was going to say my wife praying against the birds at my house, but I don't know that what where God is in all that. But we had some birds attacking us every time we came out of the building, the house. They're trying to protect their nest, and I come back from a trip, and all the birds are gone. And I haven't been told the truth about everything yet. I know my cat got some, but I did see some rat sticky traps with bread attached to them sitting out on my porch. How did I get to that? God cares about the little things. He cares about the little things. He cares about the colds. He cares about the flu. But you know what? He takes great pleasure as much, if not more, when we bring Him the big things. Amen? Amen? Lazarus coming out from the dead. Red Sea parting. Plagues coming on Egypt. Sun standing still with Joshua. Manna appearing out of nowhere and feeding millions of people. Water coming out enough to quench the thirst of millions. By the striking of a rock, Paul says later, that rock followed them throughout the wilderness. Clothes on the Egyptians or the Israelites for 40 years, not wearing out. Prada not needed, Gucci not needed. You think about 40 years, man, wearing the same skids and not wearing out. Come on, somebody. God is into the big stuff. Lift your hand and say, God is into the big stuff. Come on, He's into the big stuff. So why don't you go ahead and pray for some big stuff? Go ahead and pray for some big stuff. I love being around people who pray for the big stuff, don't you? I said this morning. I'm just going to say it again because I feel I owe you this obligation. But I'm praying for some big stuff here in this church. I'm praying over the next 5 years that we plant 4 churches out of this church. Is that impossible? No, it's not impossible, but it's going to be a stretch. But you know what? Our God is into doing the big stuff. We're getting ready to build a building right now. We're getting ready to buy property and build a building in Ecuador. We're going to have a meeting about it this week. And I believe God's going to provide the money. And it's going to become a training center in the certain part of Ecuador where they can train ministers. And bring. There's a guy down there doing a great job with our missionaries down there. And we're getting ready to pull the trigger on it and help the guys out. Huge. Why? Because God's into the big stuff. Okay. Come on, I'm going to back up and I'm going to say this again. God's into the big stuff. How many has some big stuff? Come on. I got some big dreams, man. I got some big stuff I need God to move on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And He glorifies God. Why? Because when God answers the big stuff and the small stuff and the medium-sized stuff, He comes and He says, you know what? Now I'm glorified. It's not a self, you know, righteous self-seeking thing, but it's the ultimate blessing that the world could have, that God is glorified and the whole world could see how big our God is, and we make His name famous among the earth, and everyone knows we're not smart enough or gifted enough to do this, but it took somebody higher than us, someone more powerful than us, to come along and get this kind of stuff done. Somebody give Him a praise. Hallelujah. Number 3, we should pray scripture because it focuses our prayers. Sometimes we go to prayer and we're scattered and we're just praying about Aunt Susie and the starving people overseas, and it's just like bing, bing, bing. We're scattered, but when we begin to pray Scripture, it really focuses us down. If you were here Wednesday night, I gave out a prayer guide Wednesday night based upon the Lord's Prayer. And it's just one example of how you can pray through Scripture. And we took the Lord's Prayer and we took every statement, each statement of the Lord's Prayer, and then we stopped and we prayed through it. People have been doing this for years and years and years. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, your name is holy. God, I thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I thank you that you're Jehovah Rapha, that you are my healer. And I thank you that you're Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. And you, where you lead, I will follow. And I'll not be deceived because a stranger's voice I will not hear, because you're my shepherd. And I thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh. You provide for all my needs. And I thank you, God, that you're Jehovah Shammah. You're the God who's always with me. And I thank you, Lord, that you're Jehovah Shalom, my peace. And I thank you that your name is Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. I thank you that you're the lily in the valley and the bright morning star, God. Now thank you that you're Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, he who was and who is to come. Hallelujah. The first and the last, the Almighty, the resurrected one, the Son of God, the firstborn of the Father. Come on, we can go ahead and just stay there all day long. Then we walk down to the next step. This is praying Scripture, and it focuses you and disciplines you as you walk through your prayer life. Can someone say amen? Amen? Number four, I think when we pray Scripture, it causes us to have confidence. Because sometimes when we approach the Lord, I think all of us sometimes wrestle with, is this truly God's will for my life? Is this truly what the Lord wants for me? But when we focus on Scripture and begin praying it as part of our prayer, then we know we're standing on firm ground. John said it like this in 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So he's saying, when I come before the Lord in prayer and I pray back the Scripture to him, I'm praying the will of God, and as I'm praying the will of God, I can confidently make my requests known, and I can confidently know that God is answering my request. Can we be that bold? Can we be that audacious to say God is actually answering our request? Yes. I think we should. Jesus said, pray and don't doubt. Pray and don't doubt. So when we pray, we believe. We stand on the Word. We've searched it. We understand what the will of God is. And we take it before Him. And then we say, Lord, this is it. This is where I draw the line. I ask you, Father, to move in this on my behalf in this regard in Jesus' name. And then we back up and we have a confidence. Even when we don't see the result, then we have to walk by faith and not by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, and then by faith and patience, Hebrews says, we inherit the promises. So we hold these promises dear, and we walk by faith until the answer comes. And that's really the trying of our faith. God, I've prayed this, and I'm continually praying this, but you haven't answered yet, so I'm not going to lose faith, but I'm going to continue believing that you will provide, and you're going to come through on this situation. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And sometimes we short-circuit the work of God when we try to get ahead of Him and accomplish those prayers in our own strength or by our own will, a.k.a. Abraham. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm thinking this, so I'm just going to say it, which is dangerous. But some of y'all want to get married so bad, and you're praying, and any old man or any old woman will do. But this pastor's going to tell you, any old man or any old woman ain't going to do. You wait till God sends you the one, and you will know when God sends you the one. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. When he finds a man who finds a wife, finds a good wife, Proverbs 31, all that stuff, when you find that, you find the will of God, you'll be thankful you waited until God sent the right one. Jackie's father and the Lord H. Richard Hall said he was, you know, he just loved this young girl when they were little kids. They went to church together or went to school together. The school was going to have an ice cream social way back in the day. And he said, I asked my mom, can I go to the ice cream social? And she said, no, they were so strict in holiness, they couldn't go to ice cream socials. So he said, I sat at home just boiling, thinking about her licking some ice cream right next to some other little boy. Time went on. He went his way. He met his wife. Her name was Susie. They got married, traveled the nations together preaching. He said one day he was in his hometown, and he went to JCPenney, I think it was, and went down in the basement where the basement deals were. And he looks and he sees this lady. She's disheveled looking. Her hair's everywhere. She's not pretty at all. And she's got snuff running down her lip. And said, she came up and said, Homer Richard, do you recognize me? He's like, no. But finally it hit him. That's the little girl that he had prayed so much for and didn't get to that go to the ice cream social with. So he said, I ran home to my wife and said, you are the most beautiful person I have ever seen in my life. Come on, don't raise your hand, but you've had these experiences. So we're praying for God's best, right? Not just the rest. We're praying for God's best to be done. So sometimes we have to wait until the answer really comes. Finally, we pray Scripture because it stirs us up. It kindles our affections. As one man says, it informs us, and then it inflames us, and then it ignites us. It sets us on fire to pray the will of God. When I go into prayer meetings, a lot of times with other ministers, I'll be in one all day tomorrow, and I'll take my Bible with me, and I'll have my pen and paper with me, or my iPhone notes, and I'll go in there, and we'll spend the day in prayer, and we'll just walk and pray for each other. And man, often God just starts dropping stuff, starts revealing certain scriptures. You can look back through some of my old Bibles, and I have dates beside certain scriptures and notes where God spoke to me about this certain thing. And it's amazing that in the most crucial times of my life, often God has spoken to me through Scripture, given me certain verses to believe Him for, given me certain verses as comfort to me. I don't know if you've ever been like that, but it's precious, man. And that's why, if you read an iPhone or iPad, you can take notes and highlight on there. I encourage you to do it. Or if you're old school like me and have to tape it with black electrical tape, do whatever to keep it together, because it's like a journal and a record of my prayer life and what God has done through me. Hallelujah. And it's precious to me. So prayer by the Scripture ignites us and sets us on fire and stirs us up to believe God for great things. If you study the history of the church, the Anglican Church has their common book of prayer. It's basically a book of prayer based on Scripture. Even the book of Psalms is in there. And they systematically pray through the book of Psalms on a daily basis. Even the Catholic monks have their books called breviaries, or the daily office, that they pray seven times a day, the monks do, based upon Scripture. And they pray megatons of Scripture. As well, I have a little book that I've had for years, and this lady, Germaine Copeland, wrote three volumes called Prayers That Avail Much. And I bought it in this little leather flex version. And man, often, sometimes, even recently, Jackie and I were preaching revival somewhere, and we're in the hotel room before we go, and I open up, and we start praying for the meeting right out of here. Is anything wrong with that? No, it's beautiful. Sometimes when you don't have the words to say, you need some helps like that. I had a friend who went through a terrible moral failure in his life, and lost his church and lost so much in his life. And he said, Hans, but I repented, but I was so broken before God that I would come to prayer and I couldn't even utter the words. I didn't know what to pray. I was so broken. So he said, I picked up this book. And he said, I started praying just the prayers, just reading them. And it really revived him and brought him back to life in prayer. Sometimes you need some help. Get into Scripture. Get some people who've been writing about it in Scripture that way, and let it supercharge your prayer life. Can somebody shout amen? Stand with me. We're going to do something right now. I want them to show a passage of Scripture that's Psalm 146. And we're going to pray this together. We're going to pray Scripture. I'm sorry, Psalm 145. And we're going to pray it together right now. The Psalm says, I will extol you, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. For every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and great, his greatness is unsearchable. This is a praise that all of us can pray, right? So let's all, with boldness, pray it out loud right now. Go. I will extol you, my God, O King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Somebody give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Let's go to the book of Daniel. And let's pray for our city. He's praying for the city of Jerusalem, but I believe we can apply it to the city of Elizabeth City. Here's what the prayer says. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations. And the city, which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. So God, I'm praying for the desolate places in Elizabeth City that they be shown mercy. That they be shown mercy, God. The places where Satan has burned over, we're going to pray for revival. We're going to pray for life to be birthed out of that. Come on, let's all pray it in Jesus' name. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Touch this city, revive this city, turn this area around, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout amen? How many of you in here could raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need prayer for healing in my body? Come on, there's some issue. Look at all the hands in here. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now we declare that you said, by your stripes, I am healed. And God, we declare that. And we even declare it in Peter's words, by your stripes, I was healed. Come on, say it with me. By your stripes, I was healed. Come on, and then, now let's pray Psalm 107:20. Say it after me here. He sent his word and he healed me. I'm going to personalize it. He sent his word and he healed me. Psalm 103. Let's pray it. Let's pray this after me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits, who heals all my diseases and forgives all my iniquities. Hallelujah. Let's pray Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil. Now let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. For hearing our prayers. Glory to God. How many of you need a financial blessing? Come on, you need God to provide finances here. Come on, let's pray it. God, you said that you would supply all of my need according to your riches in glory. Hallelujah. God, you said it is you who gives power to get wealth. And God, I need it in my life. God, you said I would be blessed and not cursed. I would be blessed in the city. I would be blessed in the field. I would be blessed coming and I would be blessed going. That I would be a lender and not a borrower. Hallelujah. God, you said you'd bless my family. You'd bless my offspring. You'd bless the work of my hands. And God, I thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Come on, let's pray for all of our lost loved ones to be saved. Amen. How many have some lost loved ones that need to be saved? Come on, Father, you said in Acts chapter 16 that you would save us and our households. So God, I claim all of my children for you. I claim my brother for you and sisters for you. I claim my parents and grandparents for you. I claim all of my cousins for you right now. God, bring them into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So next week, I'm expecting you guys to come with a bus full of cousins and twice removed and third removed. And hey, man, we're going to believe the big things, right? My grandfather prayed. Only he and my grandmother served the Lord in our family. And my grandfather prayed, and he prayed that God, whatever it took, Lord, save my family. Save my, whatever it takes, God, save them. My aunt got saved. Then I got saved. Then my mama got saved. My uncle got saved. My cousin started getting saved. It ran through my family. I saw it happen to Sawyer family like that. I saw it happen since we've been. God runs through families like that. Don't be surprised if you come and all those knot-headed cousins and who you never thought would come in the church are in the church now serving God and maybe get on fire more than some of us.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me. It caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say, thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or till you hear us next time, God bless, and go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.